reason why. Boy, I tell you what, I like that. I like that. Thank you so much, there, brother. I tell you what a church. Can you imagine? I mean, all the different styles of music, the different singing, from "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine," to "Walking in Sunlight," to two new songs that we had today, "My Redeemer's Lived," and "Calvary's the Reason Why." Wow, that just brings us all together. And I like that. I like that because we're a family. We're a family of God. We're going to go into a new series today. The series is going to be called "Let the Glory of the Lord Rise." Now, beneath this, "Letting the Glory of the Lord Rise," it's going to be kind of a subtitle, "Invisible War." If you wanted to say, well, what is the subject matter? The subject matter is going to be spiritual warfare. Because we're going to go into a certain range underneath this that seemingly attacks each and every one of us. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews as we'll start today in this journey. And we'll begin to think about Hebrews and what the good Lord has to say to us. We're going to recognize in this invisible war, there's always, do you know there's always something happening? Well, let me just find out who's here today. Does anybody ever read signs? In other words, if it says wet paint, don't touch it. Does anybody ever? Oh, okay. And on the gas pump, it says don't leave your car unattended. Does anybody ever kind of walk away from it? Well, you know what? One thing I've discovered that people don't read signs in the United States. I also discovered they don't read signs in Germany too. And so therefore there is a struggle that goes underneath us that we have to deal with this invisible war that's going on. Let's see, Larry. Let's try it out and see what's going to happen on... See what happens in other places too. Reading signs. The warning sign says, don't sit on the waterbed.
Also, das Bett ist gemacht. Jetzt mal sehen, wer sich hier mit Schwung in die Falle haut. Da kommen sie schon, die ersten Matratzentester.
Soll ich da rüber liegen?
Ja.
Ich kann nicht
I was taking the bell long about a Saturday night.
Thank you.
Say to that. And you say, what does that have to do with church? You know, it's kind of amazing. People are funny, aren't they? And so therefore, with every one of us, we have struggles. And so those struggles, though, is kind of this invisible war that's going on, so that we have to come to grips with things. Do we read the signs? Do we listen? What God wants us to understand is, I think people have more fun than anybody, but other than that, you know, God wants us to understand that there is a war that's going on inside of us. And I want you to see this war, because we may want to ask the question, why is this war so tough? Let me read you a letter that was sent to a pastor. He says, if I could sum up my life in a single word, it would be conflict. It seems I have to fight for everything. Everything is a battle. I battle with my kids. I battle with my husband. I battle with my job. It's tough. With my walk with the Lord, we struggle. We struggle with our money. We struggle with our intimate life. We struggle even just understanding each other. Plus, I've got all my internal struggles and all my internal fears and battles. I just can't seem to stick with the stuff, even though I know it's the right thing to do. Why is life so tough? Will the battle ever end? I really hope so, because sometimes I feel like walking away from it all. Why is love, why is life so tough? If you go back, you'll see the reason why life is so tough is because we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve some signs. He said to them, don't eat of the fruit. You can eat of every tree in the garden, but don't eat of the fruit. But Adam and Eve said, we're going to do it my way. They said, we know more about how to enjoy life than you, God. And God calls that sin. And so therefore, it's been tough ever since the day that Adam and Eve, because there's three battles, there's three wars that are going on. They're invisible wars, but yet you know exactly what I'll be talking about. The first battle is the battle inside of you. That's the battle within your own sinful nature. It's the proposition that says you're going to do and you're going to make the wrong choice. Sometimes those choices are self-destructive. Like these ladies and all, they came and these men, they saw the sign that says, don't sit on the waterbed. And yet, they made a choice. They made a choice. And so we see the battles that go on around us. Some of the choices that we make are harmful to ourselves. Choices, choices. And then there is a battle around you. And that is called the cultural battle. The cultural battle is a battle that says this, you're not worth anything. Everything in the culture wants to tear you down. Everything that's around you wants to beat you up. They're saying that you're worthless. What do they say? If you're not the best looking, if you're not the best athlete, if you're not the best in your class, you're worth nothing. And all of a sudden, the culture starts to rivet, tries to tear away, and tries to bring you down. In fact, sometimes people say they want to keep up with the Joneses. By the way, don't ever try to keep up with the Joneses because they refinanced. Okay? It's just not going to work. And if you look real close, they're headed toward bankruptcy. So don't try to keep up with them. So there's the culture around us. And then there's another war that's taking place. And that's the battle against you is the battle of Satan. The devil is real. There is real evil. There is real war. There is real ugliness inside. Satan is out to attack you right where you are. He is a for real devil. He is a for real. But by the way, Satan is not all powerful. Satan is a created being. God created him. He's not as strong as God. God created him. And one day God is going to send Satan to hell. And Satan's going to be there forever. But until that time, Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. So you got a struggle. Inside of you, there's a struggle. Around you, the culture, there's a struggle. And then in a spiritual world, principalities and powers in high places led by none other than Satan himself is attacking you. So therefore, this invisible war that we're taking place, we've got to realize we need help. So what God did, God gave to us in Hebrews chapter 11, He gave to us a hall, the hall of fame. We could say the hall of faith. God gave us something very special here with men and women. And inside of this, we're going to see what God is going to allow us to help. He's going to help you in this journey. With these three battles that are going on, He's going to help you. But something He wants us to understand, that learning to live by faith involves pain. Learning to live by faith, it involves pain. You can learn faith, but there's times in which your feelings are just not going to be there. And all of a sudden, inside of you, you're being torn away. And when is your faith going to grow? Not when everything's going well and going good. But your faith is really going to go when life stinks. It really does work that way. When everything's going well, it seems like we don't cry out to God as much. But when we hit the bottom, all of a sudden God says, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you because I want to teach you some things. And next, faith doesn't promise a perfect, easy-going life. You have to learn in the Christian walk. You have to learn through the school of hard knocks. Have you ever prayed a prayer and God didn't answer it right when you wanted it to? Then you say, well, God's not listening. No, God's delaying the prayer. Because see, one thing we have to realize, that a lot of God's unrealized promises are not going to happen while you're here on this earth. But you heard Brother Jim said, every one of us is eternal. Some of the promises of God, and by the way, there's something like, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 promises in the Bible. Some of those promises are not going to occur while you're here on earth. They're going to come into the next world. Not that God isn't going to answer. God is. And then He's going to give you the solution to that. So therefore, as we recognize it, as we see these things happening, that God is going to teach us something very, very special in light of this. These delayed promises in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. The Scripture says, women received their dead and raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. In other words, God is going to set you free. But in this world, did you know that there are more people who are dying for their faith at this period of time than ever before in history? In fact, there have been more people killed in the name of Christianity in the last century than the whole world has ever seen. And by the way, you may not recognize it, but slavery is more real and alive today than ever before. It is said there are 14 million slaves just locked into the sexual slave industry. 14 million people a year. And so therefore we see, and also we recognize another statistic that I read, there are 14 million people die simply because they're Christian. They're being killed all around the world. But is there any hope? Listen to this. In chapter 11, in Hebrews 11, 36, he said, still others had a trial of mocking and scourging and yes, of chains and imprisonment. So what is God telling us very plainly? Your faith doesn't spare you from pain. You're going to have pain. And sometimes you're going to suffer for doing good. What? I understand suffering for doing bad. But you mean sometimes suffering for doing good? just like these people in the Hall of Fame that I just read about. The second thing is that some of God's promises will be fulfilled into the future. And the third thing is that they can receive the prize. People, you'll never receive the prize until you end the race. What does that mean? You run the race, but when do you end the prize? When do you get the prize? At the end of the race. Can you imagine that? You remember the Olympics? Let's just say this guy's going to go on a... They're going to have a 400-yard relay. Man, these guys are lined up. Four of them are lined up. They're ready to run this race. 400 meters. And all of a sudden, they get in. First guy runs. He hands off that baton to the second guy. He runs to the end of that. When he hits the end of that, he lays down the baton and said, "I'm ready for my gold medal." What? Ready for your gold medal? The race isn't over. Yeah, but I ran my part. Go ahead and give me the medal now. It just doesn't work that way. Sometimes, you know, when you plant, we planted an apple tree. And sometimes you say, "Man, I want apples next year to eat." Well, it just sometimes doesn't happen that way. What does that teach us? Even farming and growing apples, what does that teach you? You plant now, but you reap later. And that's so true with the Christian life. We don't get everything we want right now. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:2, the Scripture says, "And the things that you have heard from me and among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others." So therefore, he's telling us, I want you to pass down these truths right now. Now let me give you six powerful keys that's going to help you. When you feel like giving, do you ever want to give up? Can anybody identify with me? You want to say, "That's it." I'll never forget. My brother's into farming right now. And he built this little field, about an acre. And he started growing crops and he put this little fence around it. And all of a sudden, the deer jumped over the fence and they went in there and started eating on it. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, Whitey," I said, "the deer's in your garden." And he said, "That does it." And I heard it go clip. Now you can go out to his garden spot, and it's about an 8-foot fence all the way around that. He said, "I've had enough." Sometimes you just want to throw up your hands and say, "That's it." Well, it's true in our world too. Sometimes you want to quit. How do you not quit? How do you stay with the stuff? How do you stay in that marriage when you want to throw up your hands? How do you want to go on when your finances have gone to bust? How do you want to stay in there when that relationship fell apart? How do you want to stay in the race? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 gives us six guidelines here that will help you to stay in the race so that you can live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that you can make that marriage work, and so that you can survive and you can pay that bill, and so that you can find peace in those relationships. In chapter 12 and verse 1 it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The first thing that we want to remember, the first thing I need to do when I feel like giving up, remember that heaven is watching me. That's what he said in verse 12. He said, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, heaven is watching me." Therefore, when you're in this battle by yourself, don't feel like you're in there by yourself. Because you can sustain. You can go the distance because you got a cloud of witnesses that are encouraging you on. By the way, God sees everything. He sees it. He knows it. You know what? We think we're so smart, don't we? And let me give you an illustration. Illustration, y'all remember when Osama bin Laden was taken out, and you remember the picture of those in the White House who are watching this. They have cameras and all, with the secret services and all, that they can literally look inside your house and see you as you walk through the house and see everything that's happening. Boy, if man is so sophisticated that they can see you inside your house and see you literally walking around, what do you think God sees? And this says also that we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's watching? I wonder sometimes. Who's watching? Is Moses watching? Noah watching? Elijah watching? Maybe that godly grandmother? That godly grandfather? Or maybe that godly mother who's gone on? Who's watching? This I'm not specifically, I don't know, but this I do know. He says there that we are being watched by a great cloud of witnesses. So remember, you're not in this by yourself. Someone is there watching. Number two, I must eliminate what doesn't matter. Look what the Scripture says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We need to lay some things around. I must eliminate what doesn't matter. If you want to make to the end of the race, some of us have got to do some decluttering. I've got to eliminate what doesn't matter in my life. For instance, I say this huge cruise liner is traveling at a certain speed in the open ocean. But all of a sudden, if you started adding hundreds of boats on it and thousands of passengers, the speed of that cruise liner is going to slow down. Or take a battery. Take a battery. And let's say you had one light connected to that battery. It shines so bright. But all of a sudden you connect 15 bulbs to that battery. Then all of a sudden that battery begins to go down. It slows down. Why? Because there's 15 batteries. That's the same way that can happen in your Christian life. You can get so much stuff, you can be so cluttered, that all of a sudden you can be brought down. One guy said, if you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. Burning it. But how often do we get caught up? And he says there's two elements right here that lay aside. First of all, lay aside every weight. Now, weight, what is this? That means good things. It's not talking about bad things here. That's the good things. In other words, so many times some people haven't learned this word. Let's see if y'all know this word. Do y'all know this word? It's called, let's see, it's a two-letter word. It's called no. Is that a difficult word to say no? It is. I mean, so many times we'll get wrapped up and you want to please everybody, so you won't say no to anybody, and then all of a sudden your life gets so full of stuff, it gets so cluttered, that all of a sudden you get down because you can't hardly breathe because your life is so full of stuff. So therefore, we need to lay aside the weight. There are some good things that we need to set aside. There are some times in which we need to say no, and all of a sudden somebody walks up to you and asks you to do something at the church, and you pray about it and you think about it, and then you look at that person square in the eye and you say no. And they're going to say, why? And you can say, my pastor told me so. Okay? So, yeah, go ahead and blame it on me. All right. But anyhow, sometimes you can get your life so wrapped up. Now, that is weight. That is the good things. But then there's also the sins. Lay aside the sins. You know, sins can slow you down. Sin can bring you down. Sin can almost bring you to a slowing stop. For instance, if there's somebody that's done something wrong against you and you haven't forgiven them, all of a sudden inside of your life, whatever that is, it keeps growing and it keeps growing and it keeps growing and it keeps growing. You have to stop and say, no, I am going to forgive that person because Jesus Christ told me, and you got to lay that sin aside. Then you can run the race. Lay aside some good things. Lay aside sin. And so therefore we need to strip every weight that's slowing us down, and we need to move on. We need to move on so that we understand this. The third thing I want you to recognize is things that I've got to do in order to finish the line, go across the line. We need to run God's race for me and not other people's race. Let's continue in the text where it says, therefore, we are surrounded By so great a cloud of witnesses, we recognize we're being watched. Let us lay aside every weight, many of the good things, and the sin, many of the bad things, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, what does that mean? God wants you to run your race. Sometimes people get wrapped up in trying to run somebody else's race. And when you run somebody else's race, God has not given you the strength to finish. What are you talking about? Sometimes people try to lay these things down on us, run the race that is set before us. Notice, I'm not supposed to run the race that is set for other people, or not the race that is set for culture, or not the race that is set by my parents. I've got to run my race. And by the way, if you don't set up the race, somebody else is going to set it up for you. You have to understand that God has created you as a very special person. And you don't need to let a boyfriend or a girlfriend or parents or a husband or best friends or anybody else to run the race, to run their race, because God wants you to run your race. In other words, He set you up. He has wired you. He has given you spiritual gifts. He has given you a heart. He has given you abilities. He's given you personalities. He's given you experiences. And He wants you to take those things to run the race and to finish the line. And if you don't, you're going to get discouraged. And you're going to give up. We got to run the race. Number four, I must focus on Jesus and not on my circumstances. The Scripture continues on in verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus. What do we need to focus on? We don't need to focus on the problems. We need to focus on Jesus. I remember the story that Dr. Adrian Rogers used to tell. He said one time when there was this old lady that took him up in this little apartment, and she showed him a picture of Daniel in the lion's den. And she said to Adrian, said, Adrian, what do you see? Adrian said, well, I see these lions. What else do you see? I see these big stones. What else do you see? Oh, he said, I see Daniel. What else do you see? Look, what else do you see? And he says, I don't see anything else. And this old woman said this. Said, Adrian, look at his eyes. Look at his eyes. Daniel was looking up to heaven. And she said to him, as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, lions are not going to get you. We've got to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. If you think about the problems, your mind runs over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because all you want to do is focus on the problem that is at hand. Corrie ten Boom, she was placed in the Auschwitz prison during World War II for hiding Jews in her house. She was a Christian. But in the book, The Hiding Place, she talked about this life. And her sister Betsy, she was killed in that prison. But she said, Corrie ten Boom, when she got out, she said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look to Christ, you'll be at rest. And I think she's right. We've got to look to Christ. We've got to put our hope and our trust and our focus in Him. We have to look to Jesus, for He is the author. I'd like for you to see the fifth thing, and that is to minimize pain and maximize profit. What are you talking about? Looking in verse 2 in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Minimize the pain, maximize the profit. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when you're getting right with God, and when you're dealing with pain, and when you're dealing with circumstances, and you're dealing with your spiritual walk, that you're going to have pain getting in shape. In other words, there's pain when you're trying to reduce your finances. and bring them under control and getting out of debt. There's pain. There's pain when you're trying to have works in your life and the things that matter in your life. But what we have to do, we have to look long term and not short term. We have to minimize the pain that we are going through, and we've got to maximize the profit that is before us. Look at the Lord Jesus. What did He do? He knew that death would cause the salvation for you and me. He knew that looking beyond the sufferings and all that He would go through, He knew that eternal life would be for you. So therefore, we've got to play down those temporary sufferings that we're in, and we've got to pray up what God is going to do into the future. We've got to look, and we've got to go beyond. And we're in the process. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Noticing in those words, at the proper time. If we don't give up, we're going to reap. Remember the lesson from the farmer. When you plant seed, there's got to be time before you get the harvest. So when we're looking at this, when we're overcoming this, when we're going to achieve and we want to give up, we got to hang in there because that time is coming. And the last thing I want you to see is that you need to remember, think about what Jesus did for me. That's in verses 3 and 4, the Scripture says, "For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin." What did Jesus do for us? Think about what all He endured for me. What did Jesus do for you? What cruelty did Jesus go through? In His back when He was ripped open and the meat was hanging, and His head when those long thorns, those 3.5-inch thorns, were stuck into the brow of His head. When Jesus was beaten and Jesus was spit upon and Jesus was nailed to the cross and Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus did these things for us. So the real question is, are we ready and willing to trust God? When everything's right, it's easy. But when things are tough, are we going to trust God? Will you do the right thing even when it doesn't make sense? Will you endure to cross the finishing line? Will you finish well and not stop in the middle of the race or walk to the sideline? So maybe the question for you this morning is this. Is there something in your life that you need to finish? Is there something in your life that you've started and you've been set to the side? Maybe you needed to finish school. Maybe you received the Lord, but you hadn't been baptized and you need to be baptized. Maybe you wanted to start tithing, but yet you thought about it, but you haven't started tithing. Maybe you are stopping in the middle of the race. So let's contemplate some thoughts here. What commitments have we made that we want to complete? What commitments will we make? Will we commit to build a house in the Dominican Republic? Will we commit to begin tithing at state line? Will we commit to feed a group of families by buying rice and beans for a couple of days? Will we commit to furnishing a young lady and a child in a house that's not equipped? Will we start the race? And will we finish the race? That is what He's laid before us. So what shall we do? Remember, heaven's watching you. Eliminate the clutter. Run the race. Not other people's race, but run your race. Focus on Jesus, not the circumstances. Minimize the pain. Maximize the profit. And think about what Jesus has done for you. And when you do this, when you do this, you'll not quit. You may be discouraged, but you'll not give up. You'll get back in the race, and you'll fight the good fight, and you'll finish the course. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, truly we want to fight the good fight. Truly, Lord, we want to finish the course. So Father, if there are those who are discouraged this morning, I ask you, Lord, to allow these principles found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Father, I ask you to bring these truths into their life and let them stand the test. Let them be victorious in that home, in that marriage, in that relationship, in that job, in that physical condition. Lord, let us turn to Jesus and remember all that He's done. And He didn't drop us in the past. He's not going to drop us in the future. So therefore, let us hold tight onto the promises in this life and beyond, waiting for the redemption of this body, waiting for the redemption of this world, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to stand the test. In Jesus' name we pray. As we prepare for the time of people making decisions, God put it on Brother Tony's heart that he made a commitment that he needed to fulfill, and that was to share this song. So in preparation now for the invitation, Brother Tony, if you'd come and if you'd just share that song to the people of what God has laid upon your heart as people begin to think about the decisions and all that have been made up in your life.